I want to welcome you to Wiley Methodist Church this morning. Glad that you're here. Want to introduce my district superintendent, George, and Karen, his wife, Karen Price. Karen, we're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here too, George. You guys need to wake up this morning. I figured after I told a joke last week, George, that I'm not going to tell it again. It was pretty bad. I got fewer laughs with that than I did with my little thing on you. So anyway, we are glad that you're here this morning. I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place, and I hope that you feel the love of God's people in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. Promise you won't have any stalkers or anything like that. We won't bug you. But we just like to know that you are here. You can also check a box there and give us your email address. That's the way we do a lot of our communicating. If you want to know when things are going on around our church and so forth, you can check that box. We're glad that you are here. Does anybody know anybody that turns 90 tomorrow? If you turn 90 tomorrow, raise your hand. If you turn 90 tomorrow, put back. Evelyn, do you turn 90 tomorrow? Wow. Happy birthday. That is quite a feat, and still going strong, and makes a mean apple pie, I must say. What? Yeah. I remember vaguely that she makes a good apple pie. It's there, you know, anyway. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Now, some of you are wondering about the rocks. I've had several that have asked me if they didn't approve of the sermon, could they throw the rocks at me? And I expect that from some of you. Where's Sandra Martin? Sandra, raise your hand back there. But when Sandra Martin said that, that's crossing the line right there. Nah. No. Yes, and that's why they're little rocks, Bradley. They're little rocks.
Did you say 2 Corinthians?
You guys are rowdy today, man. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, let me set this passage up a little bit. Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and in chapter 11, if you want to go back later and look at chapter 11, I think the Corinthians, some of the church leaders, were getting a little too big for their britches, and they were boasting about all these things that they had done and who they were and so on and so forth. And then Paul says, you want to boast? I can boast. And he goes through this whole list of things that in the Jewish world, the Jewish culture, would have made him special, would have elevated him, his status. You know, the family he was born to, and he was an Israelite, and he had been shipwrecked, and he had taken beatings and just on and on, and he goes through this whole list. And so, so the context is that the church has been boasting. Okay, so we pick it up in verse 2 of chapter 12. Paul says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. So he's talking about this, some sort of a vision that he had. It could have been a vision. He's not sure if he was really involved in this physically or if it was just something that the Lord was revealing to him. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that. But I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. That's a little odd, isn't it? Or 6. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. I kind of love that. It's like I could boast, but I'm not going to. But if I did, it'd be true. Don't you love that? But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you. We know that you are here. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series, The Upside Down Kingdom. The Upside Down Kingdom. Now, the first week we talked about how kingdom is a huge topic, especially in the New Testament. That I forget what the number was, but Jesus talks about it all the time. And he tells parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he constantly illustrating the kingdom. The Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So there's this focus on the kingdom. But God's kingdom is not like man's kingdom. And so we've been talking about that. Today, we will focus on the message of strength through weakness. Strength through weakness. A few years ago, before I was a pastor, I went to another church in town, and we had a pastor that arrived, and he was about my age, and I was much younger then. He was a young buck, I was excited about that because, I mean, he had a family. His family was very similar to ours. They had children about the same age, so I was excited about that. And so when he's pulling in, I thought, well, I'm going to go over there and help him unpack. And so I showed up over there, and he gets out of the U-Haul truck, and he's got this big old bandage on his hand, mostly on his thumb area, and, you know, you can't miss it. The first thing I said was, what'd you do to your hand? And he said, I got a mesquite thorn in my hand. And I thought, yeah, right. I mean, his whole hand was bandaged up. I said, yeah, you got a thorn. And he said, no, really, I got a mesquite thorn in my thumb, and it got into my blood and became infected, and they had to go in and do surgery and relieve the infection. So this entire wound was due to this little mesquite thorn. And Paul is speaking today of thorns. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. It says he was given this thorn to keep him from becoming conceited. Now, so, theologians have tried to determine what is this, is he trying to illustrate something that he was struggling with in his life, and there's all sorts of theories, different theologians. I was reading some of those, all sorts of theories from theologians as to what Paul's thorn was. So I think what's more important to us is what are our thorns. What are our thorns? And I was thinking through some of the things that perhaps could be a thorn in our life. Physical illness. An illness that we have, laziness, pride, lust or pornography, anger, unforgiveness, complacency, greed, some physical shortcoming something we don't like about ourselves. I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too heavy, I'm too thin, I know none of us have any of those things but something was given to Paul to keep him humble. This thorn. I want us to focus a little bit on thorns this morning. What Paul is talking about here. And the first thing is, in God's upside down kingdom, thorns inspire reliance upon God. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, the times of extreme growth, spiritual growth for me, has come through times of trial. Cheryl and I, and it's well documented, we've talked about it before, and it's pretty open about it. Early in our marriage, we had marriage issues. We married really young. Cheryl had not fully matured yet. I was a spiritual giant, of course, but George, it you know.
I can't feel good.
Yeah. You can't help, huh? Okay. I'm on my own. No, we were both really young, and we were both really immature, and over the first 10 years or so of our marriage, it was producing a brokenness in our relationship that only through Christ did we not only overcome those things, but we have been blessed through them. And I would even say because of them, because of those trials, because of those thorns in our relationship. Listen to the Apostle Paul in verse 8. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Do you see? Because of the thorn, Paul is pressing into God. Three times I pleaded with him to take it away from me. And then he ultimately comes to this place where he says, I will not boast about myself, but I will boast about my weaknesses. He understands the power of weakness in the face of a powerful God. Did you know that God wants good things for you? Now, that doesn't mean that life will be easy. I just went to Lynn Lahan's father's funeral yesterday. I'll be participating in Lori Freimeyer's father's funeral on Tuesday. Life is not always easy, but God is good in the midst of it all, and he wants good things for us. We've got a banner over here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. So God wants good things for us. We can relax in his arms. And the trials, just because the trials come, does not mean God doesn't love us. We have two dogs, knucklehead dogs. I can remember when we had, when one of them was a pup and didn't really understand that half of their master, wanted good things for them. And I can remember I would put them, they're small enough, I could put them in the shower with me and I could give them a bath in the shower. And the older dog, the seasoned dog that had been through this before, would just lay back and relax and enjoy the soaking. And she just lay there and just, take it in. And I could just scrub her down good and get her out. And then I'd go to give the puppy a shower. And it's just like this. Scratches all over me and it's fighting me. Scared to death. Didn't know what was happening. I wanted good things for her. God wants good things for us. We can press into him when these thorns, when these trials come our way. It inspires reliance upon God. We understand. I've had several instances in my life where I've understood that I'm not in control. You know, we kind of like to be in control, don't we, church? We kind of like everything, have our day planned, have our life planned, and so on. And sometimes it doesn't work out the way we have it planned. But God is in control, and God wants good things for us. And thorns, trials, should inspire reliance upon God. Second thing, in God's upside down kingdom, thorns keep us humble and produce growth. Keep us humble and produce growth. Verse 7 of our passage today says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. See, Paul is saying, God has given me this, this vision, this revelation. He's shown me things that I can't even speak of to you. They're so grand, they're so glorious. I can't even really tell you what God has shown me. But then he goes on to say, well, but to keep me from becoming conceited about what God has shown me, he's given me, and I notice that, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. It doesn't flat out say God gave him that, but it seems to imply the thorn was from God. We don't like thorns, especially when we think they're from God, do we? But there was this purpose in the thorn. I've told this story before, but when I was making the transition to ministry about 15 years ago, and things, I'd quit my job, and because Cheryl and I knew that the timing was right when I was supposed to be doing this, and things were not working out the way we had planned. We had this thing mapped out. Here's how it's going to work, and we were going to get debt-free, sell our house, get debt-free. Well, the market was bad in that time. The house wouldn't sell. Our finances were eroding, and quite honestly, I was scared to death. I was scared to death, and we really felt like we had had a strong indication from God that the timing was right and we were supposed to do this, and it just wasn't working out the way it was supposed to, and I was angry. I was beginning to get angry with God, and I remember telling Cheryl, and this right here tells you there's a God. I said, I'm going to go for a jog, which I never do. That right there. It's settled. There is a God. Okay, I'm just saying. I said, Cheryl, I'm going for a jog. And she went, what? I said, I've just got to do something to release energy. And I'm just going for a jog. And we actually lived out in this area. And this is what's so amazing. I was actually jogging right outside our window out here. And I got out here right before I crossed that bridge, and it was night, and there was nobody around, and I just broke down in the middle of those trees, and I was just crying, and I was angry, and I was scolding God. I was giving him the what for. And I was just saying, God, I trusted you. I trusted you. I trusted my family to you. Where are you? All I want to do is serve you. Where are you? And I remember, I didn't hear audibly, but in my heart, so quickly, I heard the Lord say, Jeff, I'm breaking you. I'm breaking you. I want you to know you can't rely on anything or anybody but me. I'm all you've got, but I'm sufficient. Thorns keep us humble and produce growth. And I'll tell you, I'm getting chills from remembering that moment again. And I just remember, that was all I needed to hear. I just needed God to I remember saying to God, right out here in these trees, I said, Lord, don't leave anything undone. Finish the job. Whatever needs to be broken in me, finish the job. Because I don't want to go through this again. And there was more to come. He did finish the job, and he's still breaking me. But I mean, as far as for that moment in time, he did finish the job. Paul says it this way. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He understands. Paul understood that it was through the thorns, through the trials in our lives, God breaks us and he grows us. And we can embrace the brokenness because God is good. God is good. And I've told you all this before if you've been here for very long, but I want to say it again. You are the fulfillment of God's promises to me. God promised me that he would bring a people that I could do ministry with side by side. Y'all are fulfillment of that promise. James says it this way, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God gives us thorns. He gives us trials in our lives to mature us and to complete us because He wants us to be all He's created us to be. Do we understand that, church? By the way, it didn't hurt God's feeling at all that I was mad at Him. He understood. He is a grand enough God. He is a merciful enough God that He even allows us to be mad at Him. He should have just struck me down right where I stood. He really should have. Third thing, in God's upside down kingdom, thorns reveal God's power. Thorns reveal God's power. My grace is sufficient for you was God's response. Three times it says, Paul pleaded. Can you hear the desperation? This thorn is serious to Paul. Something is going on in his life, and he's pleaded with God. Please take this thorn from me. Three different times. God's response, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in strength. Oh, does it not say that? That's what we act like. Let's be stronger. Let's try harder. And I've said this when I back people like Wiley Wise and all the knucklehead coaches back in the day, you know, they'd say things like, get up, you're killing the grass. That was my favorite. You know, when you're playing football and you get hit and you're like, oh, I hurt my leg. Get up, you're killing the grass. You never said that, did you, Wiley? No, he never said that. But our response to trials is to try harder. God is saying, no, you want to see me be powerful? You want to see me demonstrate my power? You be weak and watch me be strong. Probably wondering about the rock. I'm fixing to tell you about the rock. I think I've told this story before. It's been a few years ago, but This is really true. If you can look it up, the people of Panama eat monkeys. It's part of their diet, and the monkeys are wild, and they catch these monkeys, and they have an ingenious way. They take a gourd and they hollow out. They cut a precisely sized hole. They hollow it out, and they secure the gourd to the ground, and they put nuts and fruit and so forth in the gourd that would attract the monkeys, and then they get their clubs and they go and they wait in the bushes for lunch. And the monkeys come, they smell the food, and they come, and they see it in there, and they are able to reach their hand in, and they're able to grab a handful of the food, and now they've got a handful of food, and they go to extract their hand, and it's caught on the opening of the gourd, and they're stuck. And they begin to squeal and make a lot of noise and try to get loose. Panamanians come out of the bushes, bop them on the head. It's supper time. Well, you know where this is going. That all the monkey has to do is let go. Let go, pull their hand out, and flee to life. Freedom and life. But they hang on to the very thing that will be their demise. Surely we don't do that. The rock. I want you to, everybody, does everybody have a rock? If you don't have a rock, we've got plenty of rocks. Raise your hand if you don't have a rock. Should have been one on every seat. Some of them may got knocked in the floor. Everybody good? Everybody got a rock? Okay, I think we're good, Ed. Thank you. Take your rock, close your hand. I want you to, if you would, just close your eyes for a minute. I'm not going to sneak up on you and put bunny ears on you or anything. Close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Lord. This rock symbolizes perhaps a thorn in your life. Ask the Lord to reveal what it is. It may be unforgiveness. It may be a particular sin in your life, pornography, pride, unforgiveness, but it may be a person that you can't forgive. This person may have been dead for years, even. Ask the Lord to reveal what it is. Lord said, "My power is made perfect in weakness." My power, God says, the power to take care of this thorn, whatever it is that you're clinging to, my power is made perfect in your weakness. If you just open your eyes. As we partake of this meal this morning, Jesus, when he set the table, when he did this the very first time, it was for abundant life. He came to give us life. He doesn't want us hanging on to stuff that drags us down. He wants abundant life for us. And he wanted it so much for us, that's why he came and he allowed his body to be broken so that we don't have to hold on to that stuff anymore. And he understood, you know, remember, Scripture shows us that Jesus had been telling his disciples, the Son of Man's going into Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles, I'm going to be tortured, I'm going to be killed, on the third day I will be raised again. And he understood the cross was a very brutal place. He understood that his body would be broken, and he understood that his blood would be spilt. And he said that night before he went to the cross, knowing that was his destination, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and I." God wants freedom for us, church. He wants it so much that he sent Jesus to prepare that path for us, to allow us to have that freedom. We come to this table, the invitation comes from the Lord. It's not my invitation, and it's not Wiley Methodist's invitation. The invitation is from Jesus himself. And we come to this table as a believing people, as a repentant people, but not as a perfect people. Only through Christ are we made perfect. So if you would bow your head and just offer in your own heart your own prayer of repentance before a good and holy God. Father, we pray your blessings on this bread and on this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ. We thank you for the gift of this costly meal that we now partake in. Forgive us of our sins, God. Take away our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. If our praise team and servers and sound team will come, please. just a moment as we take our serve communion. These two stations over here and these two stations over here, you will be given the individual piece of bread, dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. The center aisle, you can take the individual piece of bread and the individual cup to be served that in that manner and come to the center. Now, as you today, I invite you something a little bit different. As you're holding on to that rock, symbolizing our power, our brokenness, our thorns, the trials in our lives, things we have difficulty letting go of. As you come to this meal where there is life and wholeness, I invite you, there'll be a basket by each one of these lines. I invite you to drop your stone into the basket, symbolizing, God, it's yours. Whatever it is in my life that I'm struggling with, maybe you, like Paul, have been pleading with God to take it from you. I invite you to drop it in your weakness, receive His power this morning, and then you can partake. The offering rail is open as well for your prayers if you'd like to pray, and you can return to your seat. Christ has invited you. You do not have to be a member of our church to partake. It's also okay if you don't want to partake in communion this morning. You also have our blessing to not partake. We hope that you will. If you've confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you are welcome at this table. Come. Is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now go and live it and go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone. Give you all my praise. You alone.